really want to get that work. It's just, we're going to have some problems with it.
Hey, how's it going?
She's got like.
That's good.
We'll have to go with both.
Oh, no, I want to.
That's me.
Hello.
Hello, how are y'all?
It'll be okay if I.
They'll give you from the time that you first applied to the outback date with the percentage.
It's almost Thanksgiving, and we spent our last Thanksgiving with you. It's almost Thanksgiving, and I remember we spent our last Thanksgiving with you.
Probably as opposed to, but yes. I said, if we get the 60%, the additional 60%, I don't know. If I got that locked in, I don't want the back pay. They should be, they should stop right now. Whatever. But if they don't, they should be substantial, 100%. Yes, I'm not the rock and roll. Give me what I got. I did see it.
Oh, and I was in Walmart having the last time or Black Friday sale.
What did they have?
They had a Friday Saturday Sunday.
It's what happened, supply and demand.
Yeah. Probably no red.
See, I'm going to come over here to lead songs, and I'll sit over here so I can control the computer. Your sermon.
Sounds good.
I was wondering if I'd
have our song.
That's all.
Is the coffee keeping you up? Is it working? No. Okay. You ever done energy drinks?
Yeah, I don't like it. And just all that shit. All the chemicals
He looked at my message, but he hasn't responded. I brought up to Sydney. Yeah.
Had two
no-dos
and two of the
said, you know, you said it was a Brian Quinn, but I had to show
up. That with Chris and Matt.
Yeah.
I had to try that.
I was afraid of
that. Yeah.
He's showing totally different colors.
More things are starting to show up. Yeah. If he makes it out the other end of this, it would be a lesson learned for me, you know, to really, it's just, I struggled because I didn't want to feel like I had a control thing, you know, like, oh, he's got to respond to the scripture this way, or he's got to be this open. You know, but I think some signs are telling that you just learn, you know. And what do you think?
I think he's your one thing to us in the studies.
Uh-huh.
Because he literally wanted to get done.
Nobody did anything all the time.
especially when we told what baptism was really about.
I think I disregarded the red flags, like he was obviously not being very open, you know? And I was like, well, I guess that's okay, you know? I mean, you baptize them and, you know, make them disciples. Oh, hey, what's up? What's up, Austin? Richard, you're in my way. I can't. What's up, man? All right, there's all these people. I'm not going to say and do anything.
Yes, how are you? Yeah, I'm here.
She doesn't know who I am, but okay.
I'll take it how I want. Yeah. So where do
you put down that?
Okay. All right. Okay, what part of Louisiana?
Originally Central Port,
Todd saw him, and then they started talking.
Oh.
And he brought his girlfriend over.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, Austin. Yeah, Austin and I worked out over the years and hung out. So it's just I told him I'd be moving soon. And he should come. I told him I'd be moving, and I told him he should come. December 1st, yeah. So not next Sunday, but that kind of next Sunday. Yes. A mixed emotions. I'll miss, you know. It might not be a good fit, but so that I can come back, you know. But
it's an adventure. If I never moved to
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Oh, yes.
Okay, guys. Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to the house worship service of the Tri-County Church. Please feel free to come in and take a seat. I'm going to share a couple of scriptures with you. Some of the scriptures that we've done lately, me, Richard, Donald, and Chris, and some of our follow-up studies. And it's just, you know, when you look at scriptures and you take time to meditate on it, they can encourage you, and it just makes you reflect on what the body of Christ should look like. And I'm going to share this one from 1 Thessalonians 2, 7. He says, instead, we were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we care for you. Because we love you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. In verse 11 it says, for you know that we dealt with each other as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live a life worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. You know, I want to encourage you that the body of Christ is like that. we should have those examples like a mother, nurturing each other, okay, taking care of each other, loving one another through the gospel. Also, like a father, we should be encouraging, confident, and encouraging each other to do our best in God. And so this morning, as we are here together to worship, and here we're going to have some good food also, in our fellowship, let's take care of one another like a mother takes care of a child.
Amen.
Let's take care of one another like a father takes care of a child. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to pray, and then Richard, I think, is going to lead us in song. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us just to come together this morning to collect, I should say, together, God, together to just worship you, Father, to lift your name up, Father, and get encouragement in another, Lord, through our love for you, our love for each other, Father. We ask that you be with our service. We ask that you be with Richard as he leads us in song. We ask that you be with Chris, Father, as he leads the message this morning. Father, we are so grateful that you love us so much, God, that you inspire us to just give our best for you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning,
everybody. Morning.
We're going to start with unto thee, O Lord.
Okay.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Oh, let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Let none that way on me be ashamed. Let none that way on me be ashamed. Oh my God, I trust in triumph over me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh my God, triumph over me. Teach me thy path, thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path, thy ways, O Lord. O my God, shame, let not my enemies triumph over me.
Rejoice the Lord.
Okay, the next song we're just saying, I did that as a backup because we had a freeze up on the screen.
Okay.
You can have your seat back on.
But we're going to sing Rejoice in the Law of the Lord, and then Chris is going to lead us in a message.
Okay.
So the sister's going to start us out.
Rejoice, rejoice in the law of the Lord. Rejoice, rejoice in the law of the Lord. Meditate on his law all the day and the night. Meditate on his law all the day and the night. Rejoice, rejoice in the law of the Lord. Rejoice, rejoice in the law of the Lord. Meditate on his law all the day and the night. Meditate on his law all the day and the night. Happy won't you join us today? Come on, won't you join us today? Our God, like shadows, away and away. Our God, like shadows, away and away.
Yeah, we can take a few minutes. It's all right. Bring in the chairs. Where's that shirt? So I forgot to ask before the lesson, but I'd like to get some volunteers to help read a few scriptures. And Donald, would you mind reading a scripture when I call on you? But it'll also be on the slides as well. And is one more? No? Richard? All right. Okay. That'll be good. I'll give you guys the cue. But for those of you that don't know, we've been doing a character study series. We've learned about Rahab. Donald did a study on Andrew. And Richard has done a study on Abraham. So just a lot of great lessons to when you study out the characters of these people. And we're going to be doing Esther today. And it's really hard to think of a word or a character trait that sticks out to Esther. But I thought of capable, and we'll explain that more as we go through the lesson. But before we get started, let's go to God in prayer. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. Dear God, thank you that we can come together and have an encouraging time, eat some good food. I pray that the word penetrates our heart, and we can learn about Esther's character and how we can apply that to our lives, God. In Jesus, in your son's name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so next slide, Richard. I looked up what does capable mean. Oh, yes, no, that's the slide. What capable means? Having the power or ability to do something. I think we're all capable of doing more than we think. And I think we'll see that when we study out Esther's character as well. But it's let's introduce read the first scripture. I'll read that. Just, you know, who is Esther? I think that's important to get a refresher there. So chapter 2, verse 7. I'll read it. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother had died. So we learn that Esther's a Jewish orphan raised by a family member, Mordecai. And I also wanted to give some more backstory because we're going to be skipping forward a little bit into the book. In chapter 1, we learn that the previous queen refused to meet with the king, King Xerxes. And because of this, King Xerxes was looking for a new queen. They didn't get along, I guess, which is where Esther is introduced. She becomes the new queen. She wins the king's favor over other girls, not just by only just by chance, but because God was at work. We skip forward to chapter 3. So there we go. There's Esther. We learn that Mordecai, who is related to Esther, who raised her, also a Jew, refuses to bow down to Haman, the king's right-hand man. You know, he's his partner in crime. And because of this, because Mordecai refused to bow down and essentially worship Haman, Haman sends out an order to not just destroy Mordecai, but the entire Jewish race. Haman was enraged, and his pride and emotions controlled him. Mm-hmm. So there's some backstory before we learn a little bit more about Esther and her character. And at this point, in chapter 4, the next scripture, Esther's been introduced, and let's continue reading and just see what the scripture has to say. So I'll go ahead and read this, chapter 4. And you think about that character trait, you know, being capable as we read this throughout the lesson. All right. So at this point, Haman wanted to destroy the Jews. And Mordecai, the person who raised Esther, is talking to Esther about it. And this is her response. All right, verse 13. He sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do, and when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. So Mordecai was in anguish and was convinced and helped convince or compel Esther to risk her life for a chance to save God's people. And I do have a couple questions, you know, would love to hear some responses. Esther is compelled and capable of standing up to the king, even though she might die. What does her response to Mordecai, the person who told her, hey, you know, the Jews are about to get annihilated, what does her response to Mordecai say about her faith? And for me, verse 16 really sticks out.
It says she has a strong faith because she first asked Mordecai and the rest of the people to turn to God. And she did too, to say, I need to find a solution. And we're going to fast and pray to see what solution God gives us. And right now, I'm gonna step out in faith and go talk to the key after that. But I'm gonna turn to God and see how he directs me first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was your question? What does it say about her?
What does her response to Mordecai say about her faith?
I think piggybacking on what Gloria said, she had a very determined and active faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not just a faith in her heart, but a faith that translated into action and mm-hmm. radical action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see that, you know, she had a dependency on God.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who were in that position would go to something else other than God mm-hmm. first.
She also had the humility because she was, you know, a queen, mm-hmm. but yet she didn't use that position as an automatic, you know, thought that she could just go to the king and work everything out. She knew that God was the only one that could, you know, do what needed to be done. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say that her faith was more important to her than her own life.
Wow.
She, and this is a really difficult thing, to put God and trusting him ahead of our own instincts. You know, her first instinct was, earlier in the chapter, was that she wouldn't be able to talk to him because the king could have her killed. But as she talked about it, she realized that this was a matter of faith and this was for God.
Yeah.
And she put his trusting him ahead of trusting her own instincts.
Yes. Thanks for sharing, everyone. Yes, there's a book that I got recently from Donald, actually. I don't know who else has read it. It's called The Circle Maker, and the character being capable, you know, doing what you can with what you have. You know, this. There's a few quotes that come to mind from this book.
Amen.
Don't let what you cannot do keep you from doing what you can.
Right.
A thought, how that relates to Esther and her character. You know, she might have not been capable of delivering the Jews, but she could stand up in front of the king.
Right.
You know? And God just wants us to use what we have.
Amen.
Right? And if we do that, I think we're going to be a lot more capable than we realize. And there's another quote from this book I'd like to share too later on, but could I get Donald to read the next scriptures for us in chapter 7, 1 through 6?
So the king and Haman went to the queen, Esther, to Queen Esther's banquet. And as they were drinking wine on the second day, the king asked again, "Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition. Spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king."
Wow.
King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, "Who is he? Where is he, the man who has dared to do such a thing?" Esther said, "An adversary and enemy, this vile Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king got up in a rage he left his wine and went out into the palace garden. But Haman, realizing that the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther.
Hmm. Yes, for his life. Yes. Yeah, I don't know what Esther was feeling during this time. She might have been afraid. But with fasting, and I don't think it mentions prayer, actually, but I would assume prayer was involved. And her faith in God, this gave her the strength to ask the king to spare the lives of her people. And the word, you know, capable comes up in Esther's character. She might not have been, we talk about, you know, using what you have, not focusing on what you don't have. Mm-hmm. Esther might not have been capable of freeing her people, but she could prepare her heart through fasting and prayer. And she could stand up to the king. And God would do the rest.
Amen.
And I wrote this, being capable doesn't mean you're necessarily willing and able, you know, especially the willing part. And Esther was willing. And it makes me think of the question, open for discussion. You know, oftentimes we are capable of doing something, but what stops us from stepping out on faith like Esther?
Fear.
Yes.
I think many times it's we're not desperate enough.
Wow, I never would have, yeah.
Distractions.
Hmm.
Laziness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times it's not so much why am I not stepping out on faith, it's why am I being so selfish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very easy to stay within yourself and your own desires in life, but God does call us to stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that we forget that it's never about us when he asks us to do things. Mm-hmm. Even when we say no, then there's a delay in the other miracles or other things that would have happened if you would have just said yes. So I think maybe we need to remind ourselves, if I say no, what else am I stopping, you know? That needs to move forward in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think a lot of times we try to rely on ourselves instead of on him. Mm-hmm. And we may be put in positions for him to test us to rely on him, but we keep putting ourselves in.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Amen.
Also, getting out of your comfort zone and doing something that's perhaps, I guess, sacrificial as it could seem in the moment to something that you want. Maybe that even be social appraisal. Or social, you know, social gains and stuff like that. Sometimes mm-hmm. being bold and Christ means going against some of those things. And I think that also is, you know, I think we evaluate what is worth it. And if we don't have belief and faith that advancing His kingdom and doing this right for Him is in fact worth it, then we're not going to. You know, we're not going to do those things and be bold. So, I mean, I do think there's a core of, you know, do I really, truly believe and trust in Him that doing this is worth it? And putting everlasting gains over worldly gains is mm-hmm. always a struggle that we all face. You know?
Yeah.
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 Becoming flesh.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
That's hard. You know, that requires faith. It doesn't make sense in a worldly tangible
Right. Yeah, I mean, wow, that's amazing. Another takeaway from this book, and it's the circle maker. It's all about making prayer circles. So it really has transformed the way I see the power of prayer. So that's the main takeaway from this book for me. And here's another quote. God will keep putting you in situations that stretch your faith. And as your faith stretches, so do your dreams. If you pass the test, you graduate to bigger and bigger dreams. And it won't get easier. It gets harder. I'll stop there. It's God wants us to stretch our faith.
Yes.
A personal example from my life, and where I've lacked faith. A less serious example was when I asked my college football coach. I was injured at the time, had not played a down of football, and I wanted to go to church here and not with the other football team players. I don't know if that's being a bad teammate or what, but I felt compelled to meet with the body here, and I was like shaking, you know. I was like, please, can I just go to church here? And he was like, yeah. Well, you didn't think I was going to let you go? You know, just, you know, it's, there's examples like that. But more recently, I left my job a little over a year ago. It was mutual. I wasn't a good fit. But it was a huge leap of faith for me at the time because I had so little faith that God would find a way to work it out. I just didn't realize what God could do.
Right.
Since then, my faith has grown. I've learned a lot along the way. God can do amazing things when we stretch our faith. I think about the Build Conference. We had the small church conference. That was a step of faith.
Yes, it was.
And oftentimes, you know, Esther could have been like, God, can you, like, do I have to, like, go in front of the king? Is there another way or something? But God, I think, wants us to get our foot wet, you know. And a scripture comes to mind. You don't have to turn there. Joshua 3:8. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. And this is before he parts the Jordan River. And he wanted them to stand in the river before he parted it. You know, sometimes God wants us to get our feet a little bit wet and take that step of faith for him to do amazing things in our life. Richard, you're going to read the last scripture for us, 9:1-2. Esther 9:1-2. So, you know, this is what happened with Esther. This was in her obedience and faithfulness to God.
On the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, the edict commanded by the king was to be carried out. On this day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them. But now the tables were turned, and the Jews got the upper hand over those who hated them. The Jews assembled in their cities and all the provinces of King Xerxes to attack those determined to destroy them. No one could stand against them, because the people of all the other nationalities were afraid of them.
Yeah, no one could stand against them. Because of Esther's obedience and faith, the Israelites overpowered their enemies. Esther didn't have all the answers, but she used the knowledge she had. She sought guidance from Mordecai, who had raised her. She fasted. She had the wisdom to throw a banquet for the king. So she could present a request to have mercy on her people. There was a lot of steps of faith that she was capable of doing, that she was willing to do, even though it put her at risk. Yeah. And we might not be able to save a nation, but we can stand in front of the king.
Yeah.
right? Like right. Esther. We might not be able to grow the church, but we can share our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We might not be capable of doing astonishing things, but we are capable of obeying God. So, yeah, it's we might not be capable, but God is. Right? So, let's pray for communion and for the rest of the food. Amen. Dear God, thank you that we're so grateful to read about Esther and learn about her character and how, you know, she was capable and she was willing to step out on faith, even if it put her at risk. God, you can do amazing things, and we take those steps of faith. And I pray that we can learn from Esther's experience and take those small steps of faith. Pray for the food and the communion, God, that we can remember that if it wasn't for Jesus dying on the cross of the sins, for our sins, none of this would matter, God. And I pray that we can just reflect on the life that Jesus lived. And respond with gratitude. In Jesus, in your Son's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
just one thing, Thanksgiving coming up, if people don't have a place to go, please contact me in Zoom.
Amen. Amen. That's a good fellowship. I just want to know if you want to help, just ask one of the ladies and they'll let you help wherever you need help, if they need your help. So if you want to just do more than just fellowship, feel free to help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the food we are about to receive. We thank you for the hearts and the hands, God, that have prepared the food, Lord. We ask that we be grateful and that the food be strength and nourishment to our body, God. But God, that our fellowship with one another, Lord, be even greater than that to our soul, Lord. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you so much for the food we're about to partake in. We thank you so much for the fellowship we're going to enjoy with one another. To your son's name we pray. Amen.
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 Remember this?
Great job.
Yeah. Thank you.
Book long ago. I told
really? You read it, huh?
I had the CD about 5 years ago. I think 5 years ago. So this is before she started scrolling.